And I always find it quite a difficult time. It's quite complicated giving presents, isn't it? Do you find that? Hands up who finds it quite challenging. Okay, so I think it's quite challenging. We have the best giver. If we could have the next slide up, and I'll tell you why. There's the hubbub of Christmas and everyone running around and busy shopping. Let's have the next slide up. Right, this illustrates the challenge of Christmas very nicely. Okay, there are a number of challenges in terms of Christmas shopping. The first challenge is who you buy for and who you don't. Do you buy for nephews and nieces? Do you buy for cousins? That's a challenge, isn't it? Then you decide, what are you going to buy? What do they need? You know, what item do you want to get for them? That, again, is a challenge. Then the next challenge after that is, how much are you going to pay? What is a person worth? That's a terrible challenge, isn't it? How much do you spend on this present for this person? Yeah, I'm going to share this challenge. This challenge happened to me very recently, actually. So basically, my wife's not going to enjoy this, but hey, it's Christmas. I decided that my wife needed a lovely Omega watch. Okay, I thought it'd be nice to get her a really nice, not a really expensive one, but a sort of, you know, sort of mid-junior priced one. So I did all the research, I looked it up, I looked at Omega watches, I looked at what sort were available and whatever. And then I approached her and said, Darling, I'd like to buy you this Omega watch. And her response was, I don't want a watch. And I said, why not? You know, it'd be his and hers. I'll have my little Omega watch, you'll have your little Omega watch, we'll be nicely coordinated. And she said, I don't want a watch. She said, I'll lose it, or it'll get stolen, or I'll leave it somewhere, or whatever. And I said, okay, well, what do you want then? And she said, I want a wheelbarrow. This is genuinely true. I'm not making this up, okay? It's genuinely true. She said, I want a wheelbarrow. And so my present to her was actually a birthday present, turned from a fairly expensive Omega watch into a trip to the reclamation place in Ashford, where I found a really battered old wheelbarrow for the princely sum of 20 quid. And that kept her happy. Don't you husbands all wish you had such cheap wives? Who could be so easily pleased with a 20 quid wheelbarrow. So you see, we can get it wrong. We can decide what we want to get them, and then they don't want it. Or do you mean? So what I've done is I've worked out a little formula for Christmas giving. And if we could have that formula up, I think it's the next slide. The Christmas present buying formula. Okay? Let's see it. Okay. There it is. Okay? So love. This is what drives our giving, the fact that we love someone. So when we buy someone a present, usually it's because we love them. Now, not always, because sometimes people buy stuff for us and we feel we have to buy back for them. So love isn't always the driving factor, but I would say by and large it should be, yeah? So love is at the top. Love is what drives us in terms of giving at Christmas. So love leads to, firstly, a good idea. Okay, we need to be inspired. We need to know what to get someone. So we need to have a good idea in terms of what to get them. Then we need to work out the cost. How much is it going to cost to buy this good idea that we've got for someone? Yeah? And then after that, there's the effort of actually getting it. Now, there's two lots of effort involved. It might be that we go to the hubbub of Staines or Kingston or wherever in order to brave the shopping. Or we take the even more dangerous step of ordering it online. And can I just say, ordering stuff online for Christmas is just fraught with disaster. Okay, there's two people in my family who will not be getting their Christmas present today. Okay, sorry, Pete, you're one of them. So F1 PS4 Formula Racing apparently is delivered, but not to us. And Emily won't be getting her Bluetooth earphone jobbies either, because O2 took the money but couldn't be bothered to deliver the item. In fact, we rang them up yesterday and they said, oh yeah, we've taken your money, but we don't always deliver. You may or may not get it back. So don't order your Bluetooth O2 stuff through O2 is what I would say. So that is effort. Okay. But if it all works out, then we get smiley face at the end. Yeah, we are happy because the person that we love has got their present. So do you get the formula? Okay. Love leads to idea plus money or cost plus effort and smiley face at the end. Is that a good formula? Do we like it? I think it works. Okay, so the question is, does it work in the Bible? Yay! So I'm going to take a verse and I'm going to apply this formula to that verse. So let's have the verse up. It's a famous verse. Yeah, and we're just going to look at it together very briefly this morning. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will die but has everlasting life. Okay, I'll say it again. It's the most famous verse in the Bible, so it's fairly easy to remember. And it actually totally sort of describes the Christmas message. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not die but has everlasting life. So the first bit of the formula, let's quickly jump back to the formula, is love. God so loved. Isn't that amazing? God so loved. Now, can I just say that in the English it sounds a bit dull. Yeah, if you apparently read it in the original Greek, it is a lot more exciting. So means magnificent, means extravagant, means incredible, means wonderful. And yet we translate it so. God does not love us so. God does not love us a little bit. He loves us extravagantly. He loves us amazingly. And again, love is badly translated because we can understand love in all sorts of different ways in the English language. But the love that is spoken about here is what's known as agape love, which is sacrificial love. It is people who don't deserve to be loved but are loved anyway. Yeah, and that is you and me. We are loved. So we're looking at a massive, extravagant, so, not as just a bit more, but the ultimate in love. Okay, this Christmas, God so loved. Yeah, undeserved, unearned, a tidal wave of love. Do you remember as kids, some of you older Christians, we used to sing, "Wide, wide as the ocean." Do you remember that? "Wide, wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above." Love, how wide, how deep, how strong is our Saviour's love. You can find a verse about it, actually, Ephesians 3:18 and 19 talks about that. So we've got this love. Now, how does this love expressed? What is the idea? What does man need? Okay, what does man need? Well, man needs not to perish, seems to me, from the verse. If we go jump back to the verse. For God so loved, we've looked at the love bit, we've circled that, okay, and now we need to think, okay, well, what does man need? Do you notice that everything that God does comes in the first half of the verse, then we have son as being the answer, and then we have all of man coming after son. So before it's God, after it's all man. Yeah, and in the man section of the verse, yeah, we look at, well, what does the man need? Man needs not to die, but to have everlasting life. Yeah? And this is quite important, okay? So man made a decision to reject God. Man made a decision to go his own way. We heard about that in the carol service. Yeah, he did his own thing. And as a result of that, he came under the judgment of God. And the judgment of God was die, basically, and not have everlasting relationship with the Father. Yeah? And so that is the need. God needed to meet our deepest need, which was relationship with the Father. Yeah, and he needed to take that step. So his big idea is to give us life through Jesus Christ. What do we really, really need? What does Mike really, really need? It's a bit like the Spice Girl, isn't it? Tell you what you want, what you really, really want. Well, that's not the actual what God would be singing. God would be singing, "I tell you what you need, what you really, really need." Yeah, we need a relationship. Mike needs a relationship with the Father. I need a relationship with the Father. I don't know, Ruthie, we all need a relationship with the Father. And so we have a relationship with the Father as we have the forgiveness of our sins. We have everlasting life. And that is the big idea of Christmas. That's the big idea of sending Jesus. And so we've looked at the idea. We now look at the cost. Okay, back to the formula. What is the price? What is the price? Well, it's an impossible price, isn't it? God gives up his own son. Yeah, you hear parents say, don't you? You hear parents say, I wouldn't want to let anything happen to my child. I'd even give up my own life. Have you ever heard that said? Yeah, I've heard it said on a number of occasions. Yeah, I would give up anything just to keep the life of my child. Yeah, and I think that's true, isn't it? I think some of us as parents would think that, or if we wanted to be parents or became parents, we'd think that, wouldn't we? But on this occasion, God does precisely the opposite. He gives up his son, doesn't he? He gives up his son. He pays the impossible price. This only son, just one of many sons, but an only son, the Bible says. There's only one son. This is an only child, yeah? An only child that is exactly like God in every way. Not a sort of image of God, not a sort of replica of God, but actually God. So he's giving up his only son who is exactly like him, connected to him in every way. It's the ultimate price, isn't it, for the ultimate problem. And finally, we have effort. Now, can we bring my granddaughter up the front, please, if that's okay? She's a little bit tetchy. Okay, but she's a sort of, and apologies for the sacrilege here, but she's a sort of vague replica of the baby Jesus, isn't she? Yeah, there she is. Okay, hello. Now, how do you fit God into this? I've no idea is the answer. Does anyone know? I don't think we know. We don't have a clue, do we? Does God? So these hands that flung the stars into space become, these little finglies, yeah? Or these eyes that saw the dawn of creation become these minute little eyes. Or do you mean it's just, or this being that has been here since the dawn of time becomes this brand new being that sees only one day? How does that work? How does the incarnation work? And we can only say we don't know. That's right. You don't know and I don't know. But it's just a miracle, isn't it? And it's a wonderful miracle. And I'm sure it's probably quite a lot of effort as well. I'm sure God had to sort of think quite carefully about how it all worked out. Squeezing the creator of the universe, the Almighty, into this package is tricky, I would suggest. Thank you very much. Okay, effort. Eyes that see the dawn of creation, ears that hear the praise of the cherubim and seraphim at the Father's throne. And finally, we have smiley face. God was pleased. He was pleased to do this. He delighted in doing this. He wanted to do this. There's a verse in the Bible which says this: for God was pleased to have all of his fullness live in Jesus, and through him to restore everything to himself, things on earth, things in heaven, and make peace through the shedding of Jesus' blood on the cross. So, what is our attitude this Christmas? What is our approach? Some of us think that we should be doing more or giving more or caring more or loving more. But can I suggest to you that the most important thing that we do this Christmas is receive more? Yeah, receive the love of God in Christ Jesus. Allow it to sink in. Allow it to affect us. Allow it to change us. Allow it to move us. Allow it to affect us emotionally. Allow it to cause us to worship him. And allow it to sink in. Ephesians 3:17 says this: And I'm going to leave us with this, and then the band are just going to come up and we're going to just worship together for a final time. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Yeah, isn't that a great verse? I hadn't fully registered that verse before, but I heard it recently. May your roots, Ephesians 3:17, may your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. Where do your roots go down this Christmas? I don't know. You know, where are they currently, in a sense? Where are you drawing your sustenance from? Where are you drawing your support from? Yeah, Ephesians says it needs to, you know, the best place to draw your sustenance from is God's marvelous love in Christ Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that our roots would go down into you. And we would look at this formula. We would look at this magnificent love that leads to this wonderful idea, supreme sacrifice, huge amount of effort, and a delight in the whole process. And we would respond and say, thank you so much for what you've done for us. And Lord, that our roots may go down deep into your marvelous love this Christmas. In Jesus' precious name, amen.